live from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. Cofield and Company. Official Mark Madness is here. It was Madness the last 2 weeks in Vegas, but now we've got the tourney starting up tonight. At least that's the party line from the Mountain West Conference. Don't say playing, Adam Hill. Don't say playing. DeMond is here as well, but we do have playing games. Concerning the Mountain West Conference, we'll get back into the issue. DeMond brought it up yesterday about rooting for the other schools. If you're a Vegas person, or especially a UNLV person, or even a Reno, Nevada person, do you put aside your hatred during the regular season and the offseason to root for rival schools in the tourney? So what do we got lined up tonight? We got some of the smaller schools going at it. I know you're very much into the story with Wagner and Howard.
Yeah.
Because Howard has a former Ivy Leaguer. You are an Ivy Leaguer by proxy.
Actually, look, Seth Towns is a great kid. Like, an unbelievable kid.
And he was at Harvard.
And I hate him.
And he's 27?
Do you know, like, his path? No, I don't know how you can hate this. It's way too inside.
You're so weird.
But it's way too inside. You know where he's gone? Harvard, which I hate because of Yale.
Yeah.
Ohio State, which I hate because of Michigan. And now Howard, who just beat my guys at Delaware State for the conference title, the MAC title.
I didn't know
title.
You hated Howard.
Oh, I don't hate Howard, but they just beat Delaware State. That's one of my squads.
Everybody knows that about that.
That's part of my coaching tree. Yeah, my coaching tree at Delaware State. And they just beat Delaware State, and I had to watch. I had to tune in. I didn't even realize Seth Towns was at Howard. And I turned on the game the other day, and like first shot of the game with Seth Towns, I was like, Seth Towns! I said, wasn't he player of the year in the Ivy League in like 2017? He was.
Yeah.
I believe it was 2017, 2018. He won conference player of the year in the Ivy League. He's an unbelievable story, a fantastic kid, as much as he's made terrible choices in colleges. I believe he's about to turn 27. His ninth year of college basketball? And he is playing in the tournament tonight for Howard. Cool story, but hope he loses.
Ivy League is going to be a big theme here for the next 2 days because UNLV is playing at Princeton.
Ugh, Princeton.
And you don't like Princeton. We're going to talk to the guy who does the games for Princeton in less than 10 minutes. So we'll get the skinny on Princeton. And you know Princeton well. I know Princeton well. So interesting matchup. We do have some breaking news that we'll get to about the UNLV availability for players. It's getting a little thinner and thinner. But here's what we got going on today. The games are on 12:30, the game. That's our fourth station. It's first in your heart, so it's fine. But it is one of our stations, 12:30, the game, AM. Wagner, Howard. You got Grambling, Montana State going early. And then the later games. And I'm giving away the Wednesday games. There's two games today. Wagner, Howard, and Colorado State and Virginia.
Yep.
And then tomorrow, Grambling, Montana State, and Colorado, Boise State. So there you go.
A lot of good games.
Did you guys fill out your bracket yet?
Opening round games.
Yes, opening round. This is the beginning of the tournament because guess what? It's not going to be a play-in when they go to 84 or 96. You're going to call it the tournament.
It still is. And you said it's a Mountain West thing. It's an NCAA thing. They get furious, but
this year, obviously, the Mountain West got six teams in. They want to call it you're in the tournament and ignore the reaction of Leon Rice and his team on video the other day. They were like, what? We're not actually in the tournament? Now, they didn't say that, but the way they reacted in stunned silence told you all you needed to know.
It's certainly how they felt. No question.
Bracket contest, lvsportsnetwork.com. First place, $1,000 from Dollar Loan Center. Xbox is second place. Third is $500, a gift card from Capriotti's. And fourth is a signed VGK jersey. Best part about it is free. And you can put in 10 entries. I put in one so far. I think that's all I will do. I will go with the integrity of one. My guess is, in Cofield and Company tradition, everyone on the show will wait until the absolute deadline and no one will have a Final Four ready. Could we have a Final Four for at least an initial Final Four by 5 o'clock?
I did an initial Final Four.
You did?
It's not going to be my final picks because there's so many injuries. I think there's 11 teams right now that you're monitoring injury situations to see how they're going to be.
All right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I would advise most people in most brackets to wait as long as you possibly can. But then I always see this every year. People wait, like, I'll do it Thursday morning. And then they get up and it's 9:55. They're like, I just missed it. All right. So we'll do it late Wednesday night. I usually do 3, 4 in the morning Wednesday night.
DeMond?
I like to wait till the last possible minute too. But for me, I think it's more of a strategy.
Let's
with
do
the
it early.
Yeah, did a Final Four.
Okay, keep going, Damon.
I was gonna say for me, it's with the last four in game. What do we call them? I forgot.
Opening
I want to say play-in game.
It's opening round.
Oh yes, I want to wait for the opening round
first
games.
Four.
The first four games, because who knows how I feel about that 7-10 matchup in the Midwest. Maybe I've got to see. Maybe I like Colorado State over Texas, and I don't like Virginia over Texas. That could be a first round upset. Who knows?
Okay, that's a good crutch to lean on. I like it. You can always change it too.
Of course.
So my Final Four is Auburn, Arizona, Houston, and believe it or not, Purdue. After I've whined and cried about Zach Edey and not getting fouls called on a 7-4, 340 guy.
I think we have zero Final Four teams in the
I might change it. I know a very, very East Coast biased Sam Paniadovich like grunted when I mentioned Arizona, just the odds. But, you know, this is what you find out, and you saw it on the judgment of the bracket on Sunday into Monday. I'm not going to rip on other radio hosts, but I don't think most radio hosts cover college basketball unless it's in their little region, right? But college basketball fandom is very regional. So there is this pushback on the Mountain West potentially developing into a power because no one has any idea where these schools are, who's on the team. All they look at is the NCAA record. But and I do it to a certain extent. I come from Big East country, so I think I know the conference pretty well. I don't know this conference because it's now essentially an amalgamation of – it's a big Catholic, right? Because you have all these mid-major schools in there. And we'll get to an interesting message the Big East sent out today. I don't know. I saw a good touche, though. I saw that the Mountain West spent some money on billboards in Times Square to celebrate their six bid. So they were really in on this hashtag six bid MW.
Six bid MW. It's good.
Got the graphics up there for the six teams that made it.
It's interesting. I mean, I think you're talking about the talking heads on the major networks. I will say in terms of analysts and, you know, people breaking down tournament across the country, they were –
oh no!
Mostly outraged about the Mountain West
during
being
the season.
Screwed.
Yeah, I'm saying, but you're right. That momentum was building during the season.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the lead college basketball voices for hardcores were talking about this conference being legit. And you're right; they did express outrage. I saw Jeff Goodman, saying this is kind of absurd.
And I saw a lot of analytics people and betting people are kind of on the same page. And then, but I also think I think to your point, people are overreacting in the past to poor times in the tournament, and now I think people are like, Mountain West got screwed. San Diego State made it to the championship. Like, okay, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. The results are meaningless to who belongs in the tournament and when. And by the way, I think as much as I love Florida Atlantic, I think it's ridiculous that they're an eight.
Overseeded.
It's like, how are you getting an eight?
Yeah.
How is Michigan State?
They're not blind resumes.
Of course not.
The lack of objectivity based on recent performance in the tournament does come into play. It just does.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and I never want to accuse people of this, and I don't know that they're being instructed. Maybe it's just an exposure thing. CBS Sports Network kind of is the Mountain West broadcast partner, and I know they are, but the information you get is going to be leaning more towards the Mountain West sometimes, and I think for ESPN, they're not in the Mountain West business.
Yeah.
So not that they're slanting it. I mean, they're – Index is a little bit weird.
Well, to be fair, they're also not in the Big East business. That's Fox. And
do you think they took up for him pretty good?
But it's also the legacies and the friendships with coaches and like those. I mean, that's what colors the opinion. Like a lot of these times, you're listening to people, and you just don't even think about what it is. I will, if you're listening to our show and you had no idea, and you start hearing me ranting and raving about how great Yale is, and I have connections,
right.
Like those things are, those things happen everywhere.
On to the Raiders for a second. How cautious should fans be on visits? I mean, it seems like the Raiders have money and maneuverability. I would be excited if I saw defensive players coming in particular, because I think Antonio Pierce is like a college recruiter here. One, can they afford Tre'Davious White? Do they want Tre'Davious White? Will he pick the Raiders? He is making lots of visits.
Yes. I feel like he's probably going to be looking at teams that can win a title. So I don't know, but maybe he's just in for the money and the fun. And that seems to be the Raiders. This seems to be where he would go. So we'll pay attention. He's a very fun guy. It would be great to cover.
Okay.
Good player when he's healthy, just is never healthy.
His visits, though, are the Rams, the Titans, and the Giants. And he visited, according to Schefter, he visited Raiders yesterday.
Giants are just the Bills.
But you're, but you said the maybe the main point with him is going to be winning.
Yeah, it's maybe it's clearly fun and money. So okay. It's good.
Can they compete on the money front?
Sure.
Yeah. Would you advise them paying a lot of money for him?
No. Okay. I wouldn't. It's, he was one of my favorite players.
And he's a cornerback, by the way.
He's a corner. Yeah. And is incredibly outgoing, incredibly fun. I think he'd fit in great in that locker room. I think he'd be one of the people I'd like to talk to every day. He'd be on my list. But I don't know that that's the most wise investment.
We're giving away $24 a day through nearly the end of March, March 29th, $2,024. All you have to do to qualify to hit the jackpot on ESPN Las Vegas is text the code word today. It is NEON. NEON to 702-364-1100, 702-364-1100. Text NEON for your chance to win $2,024. Come on, what do you think of the draw getting Princeton?
This is going to be my casual bias showing here. I'm thinking Ivy League school. Let's go.
that is a very casual angle on it, because the other angle is, oh my God, they actually came up with the offense that Air Force runs that took out the Rebels 90-58 at home.
You're listening to Cofield and Company, only on ESPN Las Vegas.
We got a lot working here. We're going to get into the UNLV Princeton matchup here in a second. You and I are both followers of the Ivy. You were just telling me a story about Mitch Henderson, which I don't remember. So you have like extra rooting interest here as a UNLV guy?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. Well, we'll see what Derek Jones has to say. He's a voice of Princeton basketball, and the matchup is set for UNLV and Princeton going down tomorrow in New Jersey. Derek, how are you?
Great. How about you guys?
We're good. We're fired up in many ways for this matchup. I'm actually a New Jersey guy. Adam Hill is very much a Yale-connected guy. We were talking about a conversation we had last year. I know. Well, we were talking about a conversation we had last year face-to-face with Mitch Henderson, and I don't remember a vibe, but Adam seems to remember a vibe, and he brought up that, I guess, Yale and Princeton, it's quite the rivalry now.
Yeah, I think that's the – and this is – with all due respect to, you know, the people at Penn or Harvard or wherever else, I think that's the rivalry in the Ivy League right now. When you look at what they've done in the Ivy League tournament since that started in 2017, Yale's won three times now. I mean, you throw that into the equation, and that really makes this, I think, one of the elite rivalries in all of college basketball right now. These are the two teams that have really controlled the league over the last really 7-8 years.
It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of, love lost between the two programs maybe at this point.
Well, I think they're both very competitive. So I think there's that. I've been lucky enough to cover Princeton, obviously, but I've also had a chance to talk with James Jones over at Yale in the past covering games. They have a lot of respect for each other in terms of the programs and what they've accomplished. But it's a rivalry, so when that ball goes up in the air, you know, they're trying to take each other's heads off. So I think that's kind of the thing. It's funny to kind of watch after what happened last weekend. You see Yale versus Brown, and Brown almost put Yale in a position where they may be in the NIT as well. So a very, very intriguing rivalry. I think it's one of the best rivalries in college basketball.
Yeah, down 6, 22 seconds left, and a tremendous rally by Yale. But they were only playing Brown because Princeton had lost to Brown the previous day. What happened there? Because I think a lot of people are pretty surprised that it wasn't Princeton playing Yale in the final, but Brown was just on fire at the end of the year.
I think Brown was playing the best basketball out of anybody in the Ivy League really over the last, you can make the argument, last couple of weeks, and realistically up until the last, 6 seconds of that game Sunday. I mean, I think a couple things. One, Brown gives you two different games. They give you the game where they throw the ball all over the place and kind of struggle, I think, to handle pressure at times in the backcourt. But then also they have big shot makers. You know, Keno Lilly Jr. was excellent against Princeton, had a big game against them. They have bigs in the front court You know, you take a look at what they're able to do. They rebound well. They're very physical. And I think what happened in that game on Saturday against Princeton, I think they just controlled, A, their offense from the standpoint of Princeton offensively could not get going. They couldn't hit shots. Their three-point shot, which has been their bread and butter throughout the year, just wasn't falling for them. And because of that, you know, Brown was able to make it a lot of one-and-dones early on. And then I think the biggest disappointment for Princeton was defensively. They were down 55-33 early on in the second half. I think if you would have told any Princeton fans that prior to that game, they would have said you're absolutely out of your mind. So the defense, I think, was the biggest question mark, the thing that let them down on Saturday, despite the fact that they had a great rally at the end.
Derek Jones calls Princeton games. You can tune in and check those out as UNLV prepares to play Princeton in the NIT coming up here tomorrow night. What do you think Princeton's level of motivation is for this? I'm sure they were very heartbroken to lose in the semifinals. Now they got to, you know, prepare for a team like UNLV coming cross country. I assume Princeton will be pretty excited to be in this game, but where is their, I guess, you know, level of excitement for it?
They're excited. I think that, look, there's no question they're disappointed. I think one of the challenges that the Ivy League has is if you make the Ivy League tournament and then you turn around and play in the NIT, you have to make sure your guys are on board to play, and that was the case. The seniors wanted to do this. They wanted to play. And I think also the extra kind of gas in the tank is they get to stay at home, and they get to play at a place where they haven't been beaten all year long. I think that, you know, seeing some comments from Coach Henderson and kind of getting a vibe from him, you know, they're excited to be a part of this, and they're excited to keep playing. So, you know, there are going to be a lot of teams that aren't playing between now and, you know, Thursday, Friday, between these two tournaments, that are going to be wishing that they were playing in some capacity. I know there's a whole thing with a bunch of teams declining the NIT, but, you know, Princeton, I think, welcomes the opportunity to get a chance to play. And also, I do think, despite the result on Saturday, I think there's very much still a chip on their shoulder about, A, not really being considered for an at-large bid, but also not getting an opportunity to have teams play against them of a high level of an upper-tier conference, whether it be home, neutral, or away. So I think they welcome this opportunity.
Derek, on the rejoin coming back, that was me who was the casual fan who says, an Ivy League team, I like UNLV's chances. But then I started watching a couple of clips, and I see that point guard Lee, and I say, oh, this guy's pretty good. So who are some of those standout players on this Princeton team that a UNLV audience need to be on the lookout for?
Well, no question, Xavien Lee, absolutely. He's a guy you have to watch. He can get to the rim quickly, and, you know, he's a very good finisher at the rim. I think his ability to knock down shots from the outside has really added another dimension. But having said all that, you got to worry about the Ivy League Player of the Year, Aiden Pierce, who has really stepped up immensely this year. He's been a double-double machine all year long. I believe he's up to 14 double-doubles on the year. And when he gets 10 rebounds in a game throughout his early run here with the Tigers, normally they win the game. So I think there's that; those two you have to look out for, and then their senior leader. I think the guy that is the proverbial straw that stirs the drink for them is Matt Alaco. He's kind of, in my opinion, he's the engine and the heartbeat of the team. As he goes, they go. So he's a guy who can hit big shots for this team. I think you look at a lot of situations, if you want a guy to have the ball in his hands with the game on the line, I think a lot of people might say they want Matt Alaco to have it.
When you mentioned, you know, Caden Pierce is obviously a very good player. He can rebound. He definitely scores, but he's also a really good passer. How much does that, you know, add to the struggles of trying to defend this team?
I think it's a big, big challenge to defend them. I think, you know, you look back to that game on Saturday, despite the struggles on the defensive side, they were within a possession of that game in part because of how well they're able to move the basketball and find the right shot. And I think that's one of the challenges that UNLV is going to face, is that Princeton has a tremendous ability to find the open guy. And a lot of the offense, you know, in some situations will run through Caden Pierce. and he's able to distribute the ball. I'm not sure, you know, you guys last year, if you had a chance to watch Tostan Awoma for Princeton, Caden Pierce is not that same type of player per se, but he has, I think, some passing ability that is kind of in step to what Tostan Awoma was doing last year. I mean, Tosan's one of the great Princeton Tigers ever, but, you know, I think Caden has shown an ability to be able to find the open shooter, find his teammates, and he's also been able to knock down three-pointers this year, which is an added dimension to his game.
I asked you about the players and where they are in terms of being excited. What should we expect in terms of the fans? I've been in there way too many times at Jadwin, where it's just very intimidating for opposing teams. Of course, a lot of those were, you know, many years ago in the heyday when it was real overwhelming. But what will the fan situation be like?
Well, I think that's one of the interesting dynamics, I think, for the game tomorrow, because the crowd, if I were to grade the Jadwin crowds this year, they would get an A+. They've had packed houses throughout the year. They've had two sellouts this year. It was the first sellout that they've had in the building since Kansas in 2001. So it's been a minute since they've been able to pack the crowd. I think they will be able to show up again. I think the quick turnaround might be a little bit of a negative in terms of the crowd. But I think, you know, look, the fans, I don't think they're going to turn down an opportunity to see this team play at least one more game at Jadwin Gymnasium. They hope there's a few more here coming up in the next week or so. But I think they will turn up tomorrow for sure.
I was at that game, Derek. The Kansas game, 2001.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not a good one for the home team.
No, it was not. There's some future NBAers running around on that court for Kansas, no doubt.
Derek, we appreciate the info. Thanks, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thanks. Looking forward to it. It should be a fantastic game. You know, UNLV out of the Mountain West, hey, it's been one of the best conferences in basketball this year, so I'm expecting a great game tomorrow.
Thank you. Derek Jones, 79, up on Twitter, and I think I might have misrepped the year when I mentioned it yesterday, just talking about the matchup. It's something I had thought about before the invite. I'm like, yeah, they might have him play Princeton, which is highly unusual because UNLV got sent to a very, at least part of the bracket is very Northeast heavy. I don't know. Does the NIT, do you think the organizers of the NIT / NCAA are like, back in 98,
no,
the Runner Rebels, who were a superpower before that and used to run, and let's have the matchup again. People will remember 25 years later.
No, I was looking through like the way it was seeded. Like, everybody was regional. There was one game was going to have to be a non-regional, and just, you know, get the short end of the straw. That's essentially what happened.
How big is it that Luis Rodriguez is not with the team?
I think it's huge.
I think it is too.
Best defensive player on the team.
I mean, defense is how they got their season back on track. And his defense at 6'5", being able to cover either a big wing or – he basically covered – I don't know what the official minutes were. It felt like he covered the opposing point guard half the time in the second half of the season. And that's – it's tough on point guards, especially smaller guys, when you got a guy who's big, strong, athletic, and basically can keep up with you speed-wise at 6'5".
Yeah, yeah. Look, there's already other, you know, injury concerns on the team, obviously. So
I can't imagine Caleb body. Boone is going to be anywhere close to, like, even 70%.
No.
So can they get this done without – that is, you know, against Princeton, generally, if you have a springy big man, that is a big help on, you know, on the boards, because they're not going to be a good rebounding team. So now you have no Caleb Boone, and then you don't have the head of the snake on defense.
It's not good. It's not a good situation. To travel cross country, short notice, all the prepare for Princeton, all of those things, not a good situation.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Join us on the road tomorrow. Buffalo Wild Wings Miracle Mile will be out there for day two of the NCAA tournament. Day one starts up here in about 20 minutes as we've got Howard and Wagner going at it, and then go time for the Mountain West Conference. Better get it done. Colorado State is playing, and that'll be about a 6:10 start, one of the six teams from the Mountain West Conference that made the tournament, as CSU will be matched up against big brand Virginia. Virginia didn't have the most successful year this year, but they are in, and Colorado State is the favorite in this one. A lot of NFL stuff going down. We're going to talk to Miles Simmons in about 90 minutes about the National Football League.
NFL never ends.
Some more visits, some more signings.
Never ends. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Well, that's why in some markets it was good to see some media people talking to fans about be patient. You don't have to necessarily be the organizations to come out and spend a crap ton of money right out of the gates. There's lots of good players in the middle class, and this is when you can kind of scoop some up for some value or on a really short-term deal.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely guys. I mean, I know fans get way too excited about the first 2 days, but they're also that is also is when the best players do tend to go.
Yeah,
but you're right. The what team building, especially if you're a team that's not right on the edge of trying to win a title, if you're trying to build for, you know, sustainability for the future and really build a strong team, there's, you know, you'd rather have four or five really high level starters than one superstar.
We went round and round yesterday with Adam Candy on Justin Fields, and his point was, hey, the league has told you what the deal is with him. He shouldn't have fetched more than he fetched. I'm still not comfortable with that. And watching some of the sports talk morning shows, they got into the subject of what is Mike Tomlin going to do if Justin Fields looks really good really early? You've got an asset here that you paid nothing for. You do have to make a decision on him. Like, how long is the leash on Russell Wilson for both Tomlin and Art Smith when you've got a promising backup?
Well, the issue is, and if it's true, and it sounds like by all accounts it is, it's not how do you handle that on your team, because obviously that would be you start Justin Fields.
Right.
It's what message are you sending when you go sign a player by guaranteeing him a starting spot, which is stupid in the first place. And then say, you know what? We lied. Our bad. Things change. Like, that's the problem that they have. Now, I don't know that Russell Wilson carries enough weight around the NFL that players are going to be outraged about that. But it does send a strong message. The next time somebody is lured to town by saying you're guaranteed a starting role, am I? Or are you going to trade for somebody else and make him the starter? Like, we say that all the time, right? Players do talk. They understand what organizations do. Again, the caveat would be, I think people would say it's Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be the team that does that.
Well, they brought in a guy who wants to run the ball, right? In Art Smith.
Yeah.
And how fired up is he to run the ball with a quarterback? Right. Which Russell Wilson can do. He's 1,000. He's not what he was 10 years ago.
Not like Justin Fields can.
Not like Justin Fields can.
And I think ideally they play both.
So you mix in Justin Fields on some
I certainly would.
Some change up downs?
Certainly would. Now you have to also throw the ball with him.
Right.
You can't just bring him in and run. It kind of takes away the whole point. But, I would imagine that's what I would do. Now, how does Russell Wilson handle that? Or do you have a conversation with Russell Wilson saying, hey, you're still the starter. We're guaranteeing you're the starter. But we think it helps you to have this guy play a little bit.
There's also a part of me, and I'm not saying it's worked out every time for the Steelers, but because it's the Steelers, it's probably going to work out.
Yeah, and they've
like
done
they'll
this.
Be like Justin Fields could have been sent elsewhere, and it may never work out. But because the Steelers have stepped into good situations, and listen, they made the nice move of drafting Big Ben, and he worked out. While other quarterbacks in that draft did not, it was a good draft for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But there's just that vibe, like, oh, they got him. Okay.
Well, they've also
lift them up.
They've also successfully utilized slash quarterbacks before.
Mm-hmm.
To probably better than anyone else has. That organization has done it. Now it's been a while, but they've had guys do that in Rendell L. and Stewart.
Can you remember someone early in their career who's had a more unceremonious exit from a town than Kenny Pickett? And I still feel like there was something in that press conference where he got misrepresented a little bit.
Yeah, but I think he also got treated better than he deserved.
Back in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
And then he lands in Philly, and he's like, yeah, it was time. Like, it wasn't really your decision.
No.
This is a free agent move.
Well, it wasn't.
And if it's true, if it's true that you flipped out,
yeah,
that Russell Wilson may have texted him, and that annoyed him, like Russell Wilson, something to the effect of, hey, let's show our best here moving forward. And then Kenny Pickett just got pissed off that they brought in competition. It's like, I don't know who you think you are. And then I'm not super.
He's not going to Philly to start.
I don't. That's the weird thing. You had a chance. Even if Wilson wins the job, you probably have a chance to resurrect your career and be the starter. You have almost no shot. You're just going to, I guess, sit and learn if that's what you wanted to do. You're not playing unless Hurts gets injured.
No, he has acted by public facing and reports of how he acted behind the scenes. He has acted like somebody who thinks that they should be gifted a starting spot and never have to compete or be concerned about it.
And I'm sorry, I'm sorry, Matt Canada wasn't good, and you said he thinks he's Mahomes?
Yeah.
He seems to have an attitude, which I think you need as a quarterback, but, bro, you weren't good.
Stinks. Isn't it, we talked about this, I could be wrong about this stat. I believe of anybody that has at least 300 attempts, he has the worst touchdown interception rate of any quarterback in NFL history. The worst. Nobody's worse.
And he can go after, if he wants to, Matt Canada. They were also a 500 team in spite of him. Like, you actually weren't a good organization. You weren't handed crap. You had weapons.
Yeah. And
there are some quarterbacks who don't have a fighting chance from the start. Their coach sucks, and their weapons are substandard. He actually had a shot.
I mean, you think about, like, some of the wins. And just people – I'm sure people here will remember how he beat the Raiders, you know, last year, not this past season, but the year before, of they did nothing. Nothing the whole game. The Raiders had a lead at the end, and they scored a touchdown. I think, was it 14-10? They had done, and it's like, hey, rally victory, because the defense dominated the entire game. Mm-hmm. And you finally score. Like, I wouldn't take that as some like dramatic moment for you.
This is probably a little too in depth for the Vegas audience. I'm not saying you're stupid, but you don't have interest in this. I also don't even understand. I mean, I guess I can. His whole Philly angle thing. I guess his dad actually grew up in Philly, so then the kid had Eagles jerseys as a kid.
So,
I mean, he's
coming home.
He's not going home. Just so you know, he's not. I took a little offense to that one, but if his dad grew up in Philly, then I guess you can be an Eagles fan. Where he grew up is not Eagles territory. It is about like 20 miles south, and this is why I said this is stupid for this audience. But on a technicality, I don't want to hear that you're going home. You're not. You're going back to Eagles and Giants. Jets and Giants territory. He just is.
But
I'm older. If his dad was there, his dad's probably my age. If he was there in Ocean Township, New Jersey, I live there. It's not Eagles territory.
Could he do the Tommy DeVito type of run if he gets maybe two games as a starter and does like a Philly cheesesteak? You know,
no. I think he's missing the most
not
important
he's from
part.
Ocean Township.
Yeah, he's missing the most important. Yeah, he's not really anywhere near Philly.
He's more the situation than he is Rocky.
Much,
he's not Rocky. He's the situation.
He is. That's right. It's a good point. By the way, did you jump back on Jersey Shore?
No.
Have you watched? Oh, it's all over.
It's a train wreck.
What do you mean? It's great.
It's an absolute train wreck.
It's great.
But I also told you I don't watch TV, and that's not – I'm not being like some highfalutin. I don't watch television. I like only watch YouTube now, and I don't know why I have subscriptions to everything.
Where's Ronnie?
He's not there?
Nah, he's not on the show.
He's had some issues.
They called him.
He's had some
They called him one time, and he talked a little bit. That was about it.
I'm not even – first, I think I've said this. I haven't even watched Curb yet.
Well, you're saving that up.
I don't want it
sad.
To end. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want it to end. So I'm not watching.
So you got
him.
Nothing out
and
of
it. I heard last week's was one of the greatest episodes they've ever done.
I'm not caught up. I'm about two episodes behind.
Yeah, I heard last week was one of the best episodes ever. Like, so many people hit me up and they're like, you have to start now so you can catch up. I'm like, I can't do it.
You don't want
to
let go.
I don't want to let go. But also, I haven't even started watching Vanderpump this season, which is wild to say.
It is wild. That is your life.
I know.
You're not missing
it's
much.
It's not on YouTube. Watch some random person do my one thought on every team in the bracket. Some random kid. He's like 13 years old.
How long was the video?
An hour and 1 minute.
How much did you watch?
The whole thing. You
did?
Yeah. I was walking laps in my house. Just watching.
Was he good?
Yeah, had some good stuff. Some good thoughts.
Don't worry, Steve. I'm on
he's
it.
He's actually probably much older.
Can we get him on?
I think he's much older than 13. He just looks. No, not at all. He's probably like 20, but he looked.
Oh, he's like a Gary Coleman type?
No, I think I'm just saying he looks
very
young.
He just looks smaller.
He just looks young.
Younger, okay. Yeah. I mean, we should launch something. have some impact on this.
Well, give him like a give him a platform here and launch launch his career.
Hey, he's probably a year bigger than us though. He's if you're watching
he's
him,
got a ton.
How many views?
He's
ton?
Got a ton of views. I feel like I'll find it during.
Are you jealous? Is this your midlife crisis?
No, I was
like, I could have done that if YouTube existed and little cameras existed when I was 13.
I'm 100% sure I would have, but I mean, I don't know that anybody would have watched. I doubt anybody would have watched, but I would have done it for sure. I was throwing streams up on MySpace in high school.
Wait, were there streams out there?
Yeah, you just jump on. I don't think you could live stream. I think you post like videos of yourself.
How'd that work out?
Not well. Nobody watched.
You can see where we are.
No.
All right, so no one in the room has Kenny Pickett's back, a Philly guy?
No.
Hometown Philly guy?
Jersey. Situation.
Nowhere near Philly.
Kenny the situation Pickett.
Why did you choose to swap jerseys with Anthony Black?
That's my guy.
Yeah.
No, I've been playing with him since, or against him and with him, you know, around middle school days.
Okay.
So that's been my guy for a long time.
Mm.
You know, guys jersey swap with their boys.
Mm-hmm.
That's my friend.
Do you have other jersey swaps planned in the future? Or?
If I play with them growing up and they're my guys, then I'll jersey swap with them. Gotcha. More to it.
Mm.
Thank you.
You're listening to Cofield and Company, only on ESPN Las Vegas.
That was Grady Dick on the way back. There was a little funny picture. Grady Dick, when I watched this video, the former Kansas player, sounded less mature than the 13-year-old you just showed me doing an hour and 2-minute breakdown of the March brackets. First of all, the kid you showed me I don't think he's 13.
I said
he looks
he's
young,
probably older.
But he's probably 15 or 16. He's actually very good. It's pretty smooth.
Yeah. And he had tidbits on every team in the tournament.
Tidbits on every team. That's what you watch now. Instead of Jersey Shore.
It was my cardio video.
You're walking around listening to someone you think is 13 with their March bracket tips.
What doing laps in the house and the dog just like staring at me like, what are you doing? What on earth are you doing?
Gosh, dang it. We have a good discussion coming up.
Is it good?
Well, yes, it is. It's tremendous. Yes. Yes. We'll start it here because I have a feeling it's going to continue. 364-1100 is our text number. You can, one, text it to win $2,024. You got to do it between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. Every day we give out a new code word. Today's code word is neon. All right? 364-1100. You can also give us your feedback.
That's N-E-O-N.
I'm not going to spell it. If you can't spell neon, that's rough. You can also give us feedback. I came in today after finding out, you know, the rumor is spreading. I guess Margaritaville is going to close.
Yeah.
At the Flamingo. It's been there for a long time.
20 years.
It's going to close. I guess it was sudden news out of nowhere for the employees, which sucks. That's going to close on, I think, April 15th. And I think April 2nd is the Trop closing.
Yeah.
The SO already said to me, she's like, we should go down to the Trop to see it before it's gone.
Isn't it like, I think it's like $42 to stay there like right now, and then it's like $900 the last night.
Is it?
I saw right. Something like that. It was crazy.
Will you make an effort to go to either before they close?
Yeah. Okay. Tropicana. I mean, I did. I actually went like 2 weeks ago.
You did? You walked around or you hung out?
Walk around.
Okay.
We got one drink at the bar, just kind of
nice.
Walked around.
Damon looks like a strong no on both.
I'd be more likely to do Tropicana because I'm parking at the OYO all the time for the free parking.
By the way.
I don't know why you guys give that out. Kankowski ruined it at first like 10 years ago, and don't do that.
I got a notice.
Is that
at
right?
That place.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can't park for free?
Apparently not.
Says who?
I don't know. It was I can't remember why I was there. Something at MGM.
Maybe it was one of your radio stalkers playing a joke on you.
It was, I know what it was. It was when I went to wrestling at MGM and saw DeMont. I parked at the OYO and they put me a notice on the car.
That wasn't real.
Okay.
Is there a next level reason to go? Is someone playing there?
Well, they did this weekend. I don't know how many more shows
we gotta look this up.
Coming up.
And you were talking to who? Paul?
Paul Gutierrez from
ESPN. Gutierrez, okay.
He is very much into the nostalgia.
He loves
Vegas. He does. He spent, I think, 4 hours there the other night, basically going into, like, every area that you can go into.
Really?
He sent me pictures from, like, 20 different places, different views. You know, you can do that second floor view of the casino. Not many people really even know about that. But there's, like, a second floor spot where you can see all the tables. And I believe it was set up before there was cameras so that they could do surveillance from up there. But now you can just walk up there and kind of check out the whole floor. You can go out to the pool area, even though it's closed, all the way up to the top level, which is like a little balcony that overlooks the strip. It's really, really cool. There's like a lot of different places that are nostalgic about the Trop.
I love it.
Even though it's a total dive now.
Stop.
What's the most famous moment in the Trop?
Famous moment?
I don't know. I'm not a history guy. So I don't. Because you say that, and I'm like, what is Paul doing for 4 hours?
Sure that he's just walking around. I can show you. He sent me pictures of everything.
That's a good project to work on before the RJ, I'm sure, does a big thing on it.
Yeah.
Rich Little is there.
Yeah.
And that's who Paul Gutierrez was fired up about. He's a regular. I think he's playing there until the close.
Well, he is a Las Vegas resident. Lives here.
Rich Little?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had him on.
For what?
2007.
For
something like
what?
That. I think Clay or the Pig wanted him on.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Clay used to talk to him on a regular basis.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. It is a long time ago because Paul Gutierrez was saying, go see Rich Little. I was like, I think he's still doing a lot of the impressions that made him big in the 70s, 80s, and maybe into the 90s.
Of course.
And that you know, you think about it, that is a long time ago.
Of course it
There's
is.
There's an audience for that, but I don't know if Damon is the audience.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I'll tell you this. I'm not. And
you're
Paul,
old?
I'm not that old. Paul, not compared to that audience, Paul was trying to convince me to go with him, and I said, there's literally no chance that's happening. There's not a chance on this earth.
He does do a great Carson, and you always can do a Nixon.
Well, apparently.
You always want a Richard Nixon.
Paul texted me during the show, and he said one of the first things that he said, I guess he goes, hey, if you're under 50, you're probably not going to know a single person I'm doing an impression
of. He just warned you. Right out of the gates. He's like, okay.
Paul said it wasn't necessary because there was not a person under 50.